Now, before Kyle comes, several weeks back, when physically I was feeling under the weather and my voice seemed to be nearly gone, I had let the elders and Kyle know, I'm not feeling very well, we'll see how Sunday goes. Kyle responded back to say, I can have a message ready, and I can be there to preach for you, should you need me. And I thought, well, that's wonderful, Kyle, thank you so very much. And that Sunday, I barely made it through. My voice was so weak. Some of you will recall that. And then I found out through the shortened grapevine that he had stayed up and worked hard that Saturday night to have a whole message prepared and the PowerPoint slides and everything, and I didn't use him. And I felt badly that I should have used him then, should have utilized him and his time and saved my voice and your agony of having to listen to all of that. But that's as it was. Well, then I knew I would be gone this past Lord's Day on the December 28th. And Kyle said, I can preach. And I said, great, you can use that message. No, I've got another one I want to use. He says, I don't care, as long as you preach and open up God's Word. He said, great. And then last Sunday happened. The snowstorm, the blizzard, we didn't meet. And I thought, well, I'm on schedule to come back and preach. But because of events with my father and having to travel to Iowa two different times to help get him in the memory care unit down there in Boone and help my mother and all this transitional things, all that went by the wayside before I went to go on vacation. And I thought, Saturday, I got one day to do a whole message. Ah, Kyle didn't get to preach. Kyle, you got a message and I'm going to use you this time. And I am delighted that my brother in the Lord can come and open the Word to us and share what God has in His Word for us this year. So God bless you, Kyle.
Well, it is good to be able to be up here and to open God's Word with you. It's been a little while, and it's always an honor and a privilege. So thank you, Kevin. And yes, it does feel good to be able to share this message and not just keep it in my back pocket for another time, so I hope God blesses it. But before we begin, would you pray with me? Lord, thank you for your word and how it guides and directs us at all times. This morning, Lord, I pray that you would help us see again how you call us to be different for our good, but also for the good of those around us and that those that you have placed in our lives. Lord, we only do this through you. Would you help us remember that? Would your Holy Spirit illuminate your word to us and give us fresh eyes to see and ears to hear the ways that you have made us new and how we are to now interact with our neighbors so that even those who don't know you or follow you would give you glory and honor as is right. Bless our time this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I pray that you've had a good Christmas and now a good New Year's and have had a wonderful time celebrating that. But I find this time of year is always an interesting one because we have a constantly changing calendar, and I'm still trying to get it in my head that it's 2026. I know we're only 4 days in, but it takes me a little while. And this time of year brings a lot of change, not just at the start of the new year, but even just celebrating Christmas and how we celebrate the joy and the wonderful promise that Christ has come and what that means for us. Yes, Christmas is over, but I hope we know that Christmas gives us joy that we can and should carry all year long. And we don't have to wait 12 months. But also now, at the cusp of the New Year's, I'm not going to ask anybody how their resolutions are going or what they are, but we think of all these wonderful things that we hope for this New Year's ahead. Yes, it's good to pause and reflect back on the last year and the trials and blessings that we have gone through, learning from those for the things that we want to change for the better and the things we pray that we don't have to go through again. I hope the cusp of this new year reminds us of our constant and faithful God. Last time we met on Sunday, Kevin showed us that the God of the Old Testament is the God of the New Testament. That even in this constant change, we have the firmest rock, our Lord. And we hold to that. And this morning, in this time of new things and new change, I want us to look at a command, something that I find good in this time of new things that we hope to do, to look at a constant, something that holds us. And I'm going to name it the command to shine and sustain, and I hope you'll bear with me through my play on words, but I find that it is something that's good for us and good for others. And all of this because we are new creations in Christ. So if you would turn with me, let's read Matthew 5, verses 13 and 16. It reads, "You are the salt of the earth, but if salt has lost its taste, how shall its saltiness be restored? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled under people's feet. You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven." Thanks be to God's word. And I hope that this is a familiar passage, one that you've heard many sermons on before, because it's good for us. It's a very helpful thing for us. And again, a good command for us, I feel, to look at all times, but also at the start of a new year, because it's a command, something that we carry and do at all times, not just when we like it, because it's tied in so closely with the gospel, that Jesus came, that we just celebrated, that he lived a perfect life, that he died for our sins, was buried, raised, and ascended, and now is in heaven. And it's in him that our faith and trust is in for the forgiveness of our sins, so that we can be redeemed and made right with God. And with that comes wonderful blessings and promises. And I pray that it's why we're here this morning, so that we can find out more about him or rejoice in what he has done. Because we don't get to be salt and light unless we know the gospel and have it in our lives. And I find that through the very first couple of words in verses 13 and 14. You are. You are salt of the world, and you are light of the world. This is important for us because it's an imperative. We don't have to work to be salt and light. We are. We are new creations who are salt and light to the world. Again, this isn't a title to be achieved, something that we get to mature into, or if we do enough good works, we can now be salt and light. No, we are from the very start of the Holy Spirit's work of salvation in our life. And now, it's something that we get to do every day because of the natural outpouring and working of the new creation that we are in Christ. Again, it's not a work that we do ourselves, because we can't make ourselves salt and light. If anybody can, I would please ask that you show me. But I know that it's only through the gospel that this happens. Because we know that's not our flesh. That's not our natural human tendencies. But because of what Jesus has done for us, he has given us this command. Yes, they carry a warning. They remind us that we don't hide our faith or shrink back. Because if it's a natural outpouring, we should do no other. And if we do, we must have an honest conversation with ourselves and our Lord and repent and ask that we would do so. Yes, it is hard. It's not comfortable to live counterly to the world and our culture. But again, we are strengthened through the gospel that saves us. And even if we look at this wonderful chapter of Matthew 5, we see that there are many hard commands, even beginning and following, because this life is meant to be lived for something greater, for someone greater, to show the gospel, Christ's work, and the hope that it has for this world. So this morning, I want us to look at how we are supposed to shine and sustain now and today, even in 2026, because of Christ's word in us. And this morning, I'm going to change it up and look at our need to shine. Because I find we are much more familiar with light nowadays than we may be with salt. Because if we look up, we have lights shining right now all around us. We understand these examples that Jesus gives in verses 13 or 14 through 16, how a city on a hill can't be hidden. Yes, we don't have cities lit by torches and fires, but we know when we drive around at night, we can see cities in the distance. I might be a little bit biased because I serve here, but when I drive on Highway 35 at night and Albion is lit up with its steeple and you can see our beautiful little church on a hill, it's well visible. It's not hidden. And that's what lights do. Thinking and showing this example of light even more, we think back to just this time of Christmas. If you were here for our wonderful Christmas Eve service and our candle lights, how the small candles, as they were lit more and more throughout our sanctuary, illuminated and brightened this space to remind us of the hope that has come and that we celebrated. In the same way, driving around the countryside with Christmas lights, they brighten the darkness, I think, reminding us of Jesus and the light in the world that he is and the hope that he brings, even if the decorations don't show the same. We know that light points to something greater, because that is what light does. Jesus says, light is not supposed to be hidden. And I found four things that I want us to look for and what we are supposed to do as lights that shine. And the first one is simply illuminate. Light can do no other. Just as we were talking about candlelight and Christmas lights and the lights that we have above us right now, they shine. They make things brighter. With Christmas lights, nobody decorates a tree or sets up elaborate Christmas lights out in their yard and then goes out and throws a dark tarp over the top of them. Because it's not the intent. What would the work be for? In the same vein that Jesus said, nobody lights a lamp and then puts a basket over it. It's meant to brighten and show us things. And now, as Christians, as Christ followers, we have this wonderful privilege and honor of showing the light of Christ. And it's by the work of the gospel that it is our very nature. I would like us to think about 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 5, where it says, "For you are children of light, children of the day. We are not children of the night or of darkness." Showing us who we are now. It's our very nature to shine the light of God and the light of Christ in this world, because we are children of light. In the same way, Paul reminds us again in Ephesians 2, 5, that even when we were dead in our trespasses, we have been made alive with Christ. And it's through grace that we have been saved, transferred from the kingdom of death and darkness now to the kingdom of light, as children of light. Reminding us again, we shine because of God's work in us through the gospel, not through our own works or self or anything like that, but it's only through God. Because the reason we want to shine is not to puff ourselves up. It's not to make ourselves seem like the brightest bulb on the tree, but to point to Christ and what he has done in our life so that we can show the world him and his greatness and his glory and his holiness, to show that we have been called to live differently, to show truth and love, because this light that we show is from the true source of light, not any workings of our thoughts or ourselves. In John chapter 8, verse 12, Jesus spoke to them saying, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." It's only his light that we share and that we show because of the work that he has done in us. Yet, when we shine, there are things that will naturally happen because of what light's role and goal is. The next one is it exposes. Light can do no other than to push back the darkness and expose what is there. Ephesians 5:11 says, "Take no part in the unfruitful works of darkness, but instead expose them." Our lives should do the same. Because we have been changed by Christ and his work in our lives, we now get to show and put up the fruit of God's wisdom and how he's called us to live and expose the sinful, fleshful desires of the world for the folly and path to death that they truly are, to remove them from our lives and to expose the fruitless thinking that they truly are and to put up God's good and perfect ways. The truth can do no other than to expose darkness. So should our life and our light. And when we do that, people are going to take notice and look and wonder. And that leads us to our third point, which is to guide. Light guides. Where would we be without our flashlights, mainly in our pockets now, or the lights around us? We flip a switch in a room, and now we no longer have to stumble and find our way through. But we have a light that guards our path, much like Psalm 119, verse 105 says, "Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path." A good reminder for us to spend time in our word, to know what God has called us to do, so that we know where our path is, but also, in living that out, we are going to be a beacon for others, showing that there is something, a different way to live, meaning we can show them Christ and his gospel. But that also means that we should be mindful of the guide and the light that we are portraying, that we are being, to not be a dim flickering bulb, but to be one that shows the holiness and the glory of God and his truth and his light and his goodness in our lives. Paul shows this in Philippians 2, verses 14 through 15, where he reads, "Do all things without grumbling or disputing, that you may be blameless and innocent, children of God, without blemish, in the midst of a crooked and twisted generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world." Now, I don't like this verse very much. It was actually first given to me while working as a staffer at a summer camp, and the version that they used was to not complain or fight. I thought that was a very timely verse for us young workers, but it's true. If we are seeking to be good guides and good lights for Christ, how is our testimony when we grumble and fight for our basic needs and things that we are called to do? It's true. Grumbling doesn't do anything but make today more miserable and procrastinate the work that we should be doing anyways. And yes, I think we can even infer from this verse that that does mean that we are going to have hard days and hard times and things that we should preserve or persevere through, and the way that we do that matters. That is part of the way that we get to show the goodness and the work of Christ in us, is through our reactions and how we handle those times. And this isn't saying that if we're ever going through something hard that we can't go seek good wisdom and godly counsel to help us through those things. No, those are good and necessary. But to show Christ in hardship, to reconcile difficult relationships, to seek resolve, to make things right in a good and godly way, shows how deeply the work of Christ does change a person, so that we can show the fruit of the Spirit and now show love, patience, goodness, self-control, and even joy in times that many wouldn't think possible because of the light in us, which is the last point that I think light really does, keeping with this dark room analogy, is that light transforms the space. We thank God that we live in the time that we do, where we can just turn a switch and we have lights on. I know any time that I trip a breaker or the power's out, it takes me a couple of times to realize what's happened because I've grown so accustomed to it. Light transforms the space and makes it easier to see, but it also, in us, the light has transformed us. So now that we live differently to show the world the truth and grace of God in the gospel, and how new creations in Christ lived, so that we are sustained lights. We aren't just supposed to be a bright flash and then return to darkness. No, we are sustained lights to bring hope and light to this dark world around us, so that they can still see the work of Christ around them. Being transformed into light is good. And we're going to see it's not just good for us. And yet, we still have another example in our passage this morning, which I find is the need to sustain, and that's salt. But I have a confession before we start. As my dad always told me, my last name was Morton, just like the salt. And I And I really thought that was supposed to give me some innate understanding about this passage, but I find just as I stand at the grocery store looking at all the different salts, I'm just as lost as everybody else. So, we do have a need to be salt, as we see from Jesus. And yet, today, salt isn't as common for us or as vital of a need as light. But in the audience that Jesus was speaking to, it was vital. It was necessary for them in the arid climate where they lived, largely for preservation. They were able to keep their food much longer when it was salted. The meat would not spoil, but be preserved when it was encrusted and caked with salt. It was the difference between their family having food for longer or watching the meat rot and stink away and having to be cast out. Much is the same way as our faith should cause us to be preserved in the midst of a crooked and twisted generation, as Paul said in Philippians 2. It should preserve the way that we act and respond because of the work of Christ in us, knowing that the words that others speak against us are not our true definition, but we are found and confident because of what Christ has said about us and not others, so that we can, again, show the fruit of the Spirit. And yet, we also seek to preserve good true teaching in the world around us, and seek, much as a light does, to preserve those around us by showing them Christ and his teachings and the way that he calls us for their good. Salt is an important thing. And we're going to get to how we normally know about it today. But there's one other aspect in the Bible that salt really plays, and that's purity as in holy. If we would go way back to the Old Testament and the law, we would see that it was to be required in sacrifices. In Leviticus 2:12, it says that all of their offerings should be offered with salt, meat and grain. And even there was another term of a salt covenant. If we look at Numbers 18 and 19, it talks about the covenant that should last forever with this God's people, and also with David and his sons in 2 Chronicles 13:5. And this salt covenant was to last forever. It was to be well preserved so that it would not fade away. And really, I see the gospel here not just for the outside with this preservation and purity, but again, a promise to us of how the gospel has preserved and made us holy so that we never have to wonder what our standing is in God. Christ has dealt with it. This again is the reminder of the "you are" statement. Because of what Christ has done, we are preserved and made holy through Christ's work. And yet, we have a warning that we see in verse 13, that we are to not lose our saltiness. Not that we would lose our salvation, but that we have a role to play in the world around us. Because, like Jesus said, what good is unsalty salt? Thankfully, I've never experienced that, but it wouldn't be good for anything but to be thrown out. But that leaves a question for us. How do we make sure we don't slide back, but keep growing and maturing in our Christian lives? And simply put, I think that we focus on the right things so we aren't deluded or watered down with the world and other temptations that we faced, but we focus on the right things, focus on the purpose that God has given us so that we can do what he's called us. And that's simply Philippians 4, 8, and 9, where Paul writes, "Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. What you have learned and received and heard in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you." I'm going to wrap all of those wonderful things that Paul set up just in "think about good things." Because the world, I find, is constantly trying to fill our mind with other things so that we have to physically think about the good things. But what I love about this list is if we would trace them and think about all of these things, we would see how they all go back to the good of God the Father and Jesus, his Son. Amen. They are going to bring us back to who he is and what he has done for us and the promises that we have in him. But what's better is that we don't have to stop there. Paul says that we have examples of what this life lived and looked like, what you have heard and seen me practice. You should do these things as well. The call to do. And yet, the God of peace will be with us, even when we're stumbling along, even when it's hard, even when people don't respond the way that we think they should. We have God's peace, knowing what he's called us to do. So, let us focus on the right things. Because as salt, we have a couple of other things that we need to do. And it's more what we know salt as. First, we all know what salt does to a plate of food. Just a little bit of salt can go a long way. But salt is a benefit. I'm learning, because I'm not a great chef or baker, that a little bit of salt even goes well with sweet things like chocolate or other sweet things. It brings it out. It enhances that sweet flavor, even though salt itself is not. So should our lives be to those around us. We should be a benefit to them just by our presence. Even by the words that we share should change our interaction with others. In Colossians 4:6, let your speech always be gracious, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how you ought to answer each person. That means that our words should seek to promote and build up, not tear down, but enhance and point those others to Christ. That is a good challenge for us. A reminder that we don't just get to coast or rest or be like the world, but our words get to matter and change things. And more so, we follow Jesus' example, even in our words. How we see him, who he knew who to be firm with, because they knew better and they weren't doing what they were supposed to be. But yet we see his gentleness for those who don't know him, how he drew them in so that he could tell them more about themselves. He spoke with truth and grace, building up in timely ways, not just blasting people, because that's the desire that was there. It's a good example for us to follow so that we can lead others to Christ. Because our words and our actions should lead us as an enhancement to an awareness of need. A good salty snack, even if it's well seasoned, is going to make us thirsty. So should we, just from when we leave and depart an interaction or the people that we love that don't know God, I pray that they're left wanting more, wondering, even if they know, how this life looks so different than the rest of the world. Because the way that we live gets to point to the work of the gospel, the wisdom of God, and the way that he has ordered life. By the way that we endure struggles and hardships and can have joy through them, because we know the hope that lies before us, that we don't just live this life for ourselves, but the one who has saved us from all and promises more. That we can show them and lead them to the everlasting living water, the source of life, and the fulfillment of all they need when we have an opportunity to share the truth and the gospel with them. That is good. And that is the reason why we do all of this. It's not just to be good, obedient children. I find that it's for good, and we'll see for God's glory. Ultimately, it's for our good. As I said in the very beginning, this is just a natural outpouring of who Christ has made us to be. We are just living in God's created order for his people and his children to live this out, to be part of his plan to bring the gospel to the world. It's a blessing that God has called us to be salt and light, something that we should help us get out of bed in the morning to know that we have a role and to be agents of good for those around us. Yes, this seems like a best case scenario where everyone will listen and learn from what we want to seek and share, but we know that even in our hardships, even how their unsavory reactions might be, that we get to show Christ throughout those interactions. Praying that we can answer with a well-seasoned response if necessary, but show them God's love and grace as he showed it to us when we didn't deserve it. And yes, it's for our good, but it's also for the good of those around us. Just as we shared with Salt, it's an enhancement, it's a benefit, it shows them their need. Even if they don't respond in the way that we should hope, how can we say that we love them if we don't share the best news, the best gift that we can give them? God has invited us into this so that those who don't know him would hear and can know who he is. Again, we're partnering with the Holy Spirit. We are not responsible for their response, but we do get to show them what God, who God is and what he wants for their lives. By our example, again, in John 17:16, where he says that they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. We are called to live differently for the good of those around us. But ultimately, so that we, it's for God's glory that we live this way. That it says in the last verse 16, so that others may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. That they would notice that we're doing something different and praise and wonder at how people can act this way, because we know it's only through God's work that they would want to know something more. But that also means that we have a work for all of these to be done. I don't see us in this passage here to be called to be one big great salt heap or a cluster of lights to show how bright we can be, but the intent of salt and light is to go out and to season and to brighten the dark places, meaning that we come together to be built up, to encourage in God's word, and then go out and share this wonderful news. Our intended use is to be spread. That we are to be agents of change for God's good and gospel, for our good and for God's gospel. So, with that, we need to be sure, as I said before, that we understand what we are called to be and understand the goodness of the gospel, because I really pray as we're sharing these things and living them out, when we have an opportunity to share the gospel, we can do it with a smile on our face because of the good news. If we can't show how terrible sin is and what it actually is and how terrible an affront it is to our holy God and his gospel and how it transforms us to be children of light through the work of Jesus Christ without a smile, let's soak in that a little bit longer so that we can shine and sustain to those around us because of God's work in us. So I have one more request of you, that you would close your eyes and imagine just being for a short time without salt or light. Whether that's a camping trip where all your batteries are dead and you forgot to pack the salt, or the power or the storm that knocked out your power right before you could go to town and pick up more salt. Okay, you can open your eyes now. Not really something that we encounter very often today. And I am very thankful for that. But how long would it take for you to go get more salt or to find some way to have some light? I know it wouldn't take me very long, but imagine a world without salt and light, and how we are called to enhance and preserve, transform and expose and guide, that the light of Christ would shine in us and preserve the good teaching around us for God's glory as we get to follow as obedient children. And yet, as we do this, we get to remember that our God is the same, no matter what the year holds or what time of year it is, that we have the same Christ now and tomorrow, who shows us that he is always who he is, who he said he is, and what he has done is what holds us. That he is the true light and the one who preserves us. Let us hold fast to him as we shine and sustain in this new year ahead, or even later today. Would you pray with me? Lord, we thank you that you have called us to be salt and light to the world. We thank you that because of what you have done, we can be salt and light. That you have called us to be part of the mission to your world And we ask that you would help us stand firm in this. Help us to be living this out, not for our glory, but for yours, so that they would see you more and to come to know you as God. We pray that you would keep us close to you as we follow you in this new year ahead. And as your people, let us shine and be sustained in you as we seek to do the same where you have called us. As we know, you will guide us and are the same always, so that we can go forward confidently in you and in this. In Jesus' name we say, amen.